Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. May I remind you at the very outset, something that I've said for many, many, many years now, thousands upon thousands of times. But let me remind you, in the event you're a first-time listener, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we see what is taking place locally, nationally, internationally, globally, whether it be in the realm of theological, doctrinal, biblical, denominational dogma, or in the political realm, or in any other realm in life, as we see what is taking place, we need to scrutinize it under the lens of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? God's Word, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, is God's progressive revelation of Himself to man. It is God's revelation of what He has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do in this whole world. Listen, as we study the Word of God, and then we listen to the news, watch the news, it's as though the Scripture is leaping right off the pages of the Word of God. I'm always amazed when I see headlines about Israel, amazed when I see headlines about Iraq, Iran, Russia, Ukraine, anything in the Middle East. All of these things are already discussed in the Word of God. God tells us what's happening, when it's going to happen, and what is taking place. Now, He does not give us the precise time frame. We do not know the day or the hour, according to the Scripture, but we do know, based on the signs that God gives us in Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21, Mark chapter 13, all are called the eschatological prophetic text in relationship to what we need to look at, what we need to see, what we need to analyze and scrutinize under the lens of the Word of God and see what God is saying and what God is doing. That's our admonition. In fact, another admonition straight from the Word of God in Proverbs, the third chapter, multitudes are familiar with this. We'll quote it kind of nonchalantly, but not realize the depth of what it is saying. The Bible says in 5 and 6 of the third chapter of Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall," not maybe, not possibly, "shall direct thy path." That is, He's going to control, manage through the Word of God what we should do and how we should respond. May I recommend the truth book? John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy word is truth." Now that didn't say God's word contains truth. It is truth. Part and parcel, all-inclusive. It is the truth of God found in the Word of God. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So may I remind you, as we understand, truth does not falter or fall. It is the way it is perceived and believed and carried out by society. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that was published in 1947, 48, and 49. Entitled 1984, he targeted some things that America would be like, society would be like, by 1984. Some of the things he said was way out. Some of the things he said seemingly was on target, but he was just a little off on his date and timetable. He said this, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And we find that to be factually true even today. Yet we find, I'm looking at a headline that's a little scary. It says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. The article begins with, the Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities. But the poll shows that most younger Americans simply do not believe that. They believe that each person designs and defines their own version of truth. In fact, in the body of this article, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that'd be like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall to try to get to truth if that were the fact. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Now, I could elaborate on that for hours. I won't do it because of time. But another headline says Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. And the article goes on to talk about the major collapse of public support about truth is in the realm of government, media, and education. This article reads out of about a 6 or 8 page article. It says it's fashionable in academia today and for decades that truth is relative, or that it is not, or is a matter of individual perception or of cultural mores, or even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now, again, it goes back to the vacillation of society if we did not have a source book for truth. Listen, I even go back to and use the statement, you could take any court of law, you could take any case, any trial, any jury trial, etc., etc., and regardless of what you say, this witness says this witness says that, and the whole body of the court scenario is to find, get to the bottom truth. What is truth in that case? If there's no such thing as truth, then all of this would be for naught, would be no value, would be no point. Ladies and gentlemen, I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Now that's my challenge, that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we seek the truth, learn it, love it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it even to death. I go back to Charlie Kirk. He's telling the truth, yet he was called a hate monger, called an Islamophobic. He was called a truth denier, and yet he stood for truth as a result of standing for truth in the face of a world that rejects truth today. An assassin's bullet took his life. Now, I'm not advocating the fact that all of us need to stand up and face the enemy in that fashion, but I believe, just as Jan Hus said, we need to be able to learn the truth, love it, live it, learn it, stand for it, be willing to stand and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? I'm glad you asked that question. Tools for Time is located right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there is a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, going to take a few moments for a monologue. Then we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to talk about today the issue that I believe should be, if it's not, should be on the minds of the hearts and the lips of every conservative, every patriot, every Christian in the United States of America. We're talking about today COVID, Fauci, and a stolen 2020 election. How do all these three things come together? COVID, Sir Anthony Dr. Death Fauci, and the stolen 2020 election. I want us to look at it today, step by step, portion by portion. We could go into much detail on any one of the facets of the three-pronged issue that we're talking about today. Time won't allow us to delve into every aspect of it. That's where we're praying that you'll call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. What do you know about Dr. Death? Some have referred to him as Dr. Mengele of Germany during the time of Hitler, where Dr. Mengele would take people and do all kinds of surgeries on them without anesthesia, just to see how the body responded, etc. I could go into gory details of some of the procedures that he did, and I believe we could analyze Dr. Fauci and what he's done and what it's showing today and say that they would match the same mold. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I've called this down through the years, unpeeling the COVID onion, unpeeling the deception of the 2020 election. And the question still remains, did Joe Biden, Autopen Biden, Sleepy Joe Biden, Basement Biden, did he win the election in 2020 by 81 million votes total? Now I understand. Some call it beating a dead horse. That's okay. But finally, unpeeling the election onion is coming to fruition. And what Trump has said for years, what his acolytes in the Trump orbit said, and 18 of them got prosecuted, just in the state of Georgia, 18 were prosecuted on the basis that they were trying to undermine and steal an election. When it was opposite of that, the election was stolen. We know that now. The truth is out now. The facts have come to surface now. The onion has been unpeeled now. The details are being shown now. What would you say, and I'll touch on this, we'll get to it later. Would you say the potential of the election was stolen in 2020? When the whistleblower now says that he knows for a fact that 1.5 million U.S. ballots, election ballots, mail-in ballots, 1.5 million were printed in China, shipped to Canada, Canada shipped them to Mexico, Mexico shipped them to the recipients in the Democratic Party and their acolytes to be dispersed. Ladies and gentlemen, you will recall my discussing many, many times the unpeeling of the onion. Well, today's revelations about the COVID lies, the COVID deaths, Dr. Fauci, 1,140-page personal diary, and the multitudes of new revelations about illegal votings, and the, in fact, one article I read recently said 250,000 dead people, all Democrats, voted in the election in 2020. 250,000. Could that throw an election? Absolutely. Is it possible that 1.5 million illegal, phony, Communist Party printed U.S. mail-in ballots? Is it possible that the video that all of us had seen called the 2,000 Mules, is it possible the details in that were absolutely 100% factual, and yet it was dissed and claimed to be fraudulent, phony, misinformation, disinformation, taken down off the Internet, will not be allowed to be shown on the Internet? Ladies and gentlemen, COVID, Fauci, and the stolen election of 2020. I've got a fistful that we could talk about these articles the rest of the day. Time won't allow us to get into all of them. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What do you say about Fauci's diaries, 1,140 pages, most of which have not been published yet? I've read scads of information and articles about it. I'm fascinated by his, deification of himself, that he was the most popular man in the world, that people around the world were calling him. He made the statement in his diary, "I'm more popular than the President of the United States of America." But the thing that I found fascinating, frightening, and absolutely definitive was that in one of his statements, he said that the goal was, with the COVID lockdowns, et cetera, and we'll talk about that more in the broadcast, but the COVID lockdowns and the fright to prevent people from going to the polls and voting to make sure that Donald Trump was not elected in 2020. Now, may I just simply give you a young blood footnote? I believe that was the core element of the lockdowns, the fear, the frightened aspect and attitude that was taken all of the COVID era, was to build up to and prevent Donald Trump's election in 2020. And if you want to look at it in retrospect, it worked. That's what they did. And when we look at today, state after state after state, especially with all of the states that are responsible for the election, basically five or six of the states that now are saying, one of them, what was it, 2,660 or 26,000 or 260,000, whatever it was, illegals had registered to vote. And then the governor of that state said, "Oh, no, don't worry about it. Less than 400 really voted." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to realize what we're talking about and where we are today with the truth that's been brought forth. If you were a denier of the Biden election in 2020, if you questioned the efficacy of the COVID jab, if you said something about you didn't believe the mask works, then you are a denier, election denier. You are a COVID denier. You are a pandemic denier. In fact, it was the homosexual anchor Don Lemon on CNN. On one of his broadcasts, he said every non-vaxxer, everyone that was against the vaccination, everyone that would not be vaccinated or wear a mask, need to be locked up, herded up, and put in a concentration camp. That was the mindset of those on the left. And now we're finding proof, as my mother used to call it, proofs in the pudding. We're finding today when the pudding is dipped out and spooned out, We're finding, ladies and gentlemen, we the conspiracy theorists, we the truth deniers, we the misinformation and disinformation folks are found to be the factual truth finders, truth tellers, and all of this element that we're finding today. I find it amazing that it's bubbling to forefront of the stolen election in 2020, bubbling to the top with what we've been told and the lies coming out of Fauci, his connection with the CIA, the FBI, and the FDA. And they believed him, and now they're determining, they're finding that he basically lied, deceived for his own glorification. In fact, it's Ron DeSantis, our governor in the state of Florida, said this, almost divine figure. Fauci unlikely to be held accountable. Anthony Fauci would likely be viewed by the District of Columbia just as an almost divine figure, says second-term Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, ahead of the doctor's voice from COVID-19 testifying at the Senate on Wednesday. The governor also said the media's fawning, F-A-W-N-I-N-G, of him fueled his vanity, vicious cycle. Fauci's diary entries during the era of the pandemic, released publicly, are drawing heavy scrutiny. In Florida, DeSantis originally went with Fauci's recommendations, then calling it freedom of Fauciism. Freedom over Fauciism, the state blocked the federal strategies through rejections, rollbacks, and prohibitions. When a conservative clashes with the swamp, he gets convicted in 15 minutes. And the D.C. jury. When attempts are made to hold a member of the swamp accountable, an acquittal usually follows. A D.C. jury would likely view Fauci as an almost divine figure. Such a jury would unquestionably vote to nullify any case against him. He also said that Fauci was lionized by the legacy media. And he goes on with about a three-page article, ladies and gentlemen, giving his view on Sir Anthony Fauci. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Death, Fauci, Dr. Vax Fauci, and what he feels about it. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. I hope you're well.
I hope you are also.
Thank you.
You know what? It was a total lie. And we need to, they need to wake up and see this man for what he is and what he was. And I'm glad they finally got him to come and be judged. And hopefully they will find out he was Dr. Death. And really he needs his life taken. And all the money he made taken from him.
Well, it's strange that you say that. Let me couch it this way. And reading dozens and dozens of articles on this subject in preparation for the broadcast today, it was Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Rand Paul that both said, listen carefully, their very words, and I quote them directly, Dr. Fauci is responsible for over 1 million deaths of Americans and must be held responsible. It's a pretty powerful statement. And they have all the records. They have all the information. They've been doing the investigatory work now for several years. And Dr. Fauci was the face of COVID. And many have heard me interviewing Dr. Reed Sheftall, a scientist, a heart surgeon, a plastic surgeon, MIT graduate, 99.9% of his class. There's multitudes that understand that this COVID-19 was a rebranding of the common flu, influenza, the pneumonia, if you will. And I've got statistical data that backs up what I'm saying, backs up what he said, because Dr. Fauci is saying that there would be death rate of some 2.5% to 3.2% of the population, when in reality, in his diary, he said the death rate would be 0.2 or 0.2.5. Minuscule in number. In fact, the number almost identical to the same number of those that die each year from influenza or pneumonia. So therefore, Dr. Fauci was telling us, we the people, the world, one thing. He was admitting to the truth in his own diary, deifying himself, basically laughing at the world. So ladies and gentlemen, when we understand what has been uncovered, the unpeeling of the COVID onion, the unpeeling of the theft of the 2020 election onion. We need to understand what is happening. President Trump says, and I'm reading a headline, President Trump says China illicitly obtained 220 million U.S. voter files since the 2020 election. So it's not just what they did then, it's what they, i.e. China and other enemies of the state, are planning for the future. But ladies and gentlemen, what we realize, I believe that we, the conspiracy theorists, and the so-called misinformation and disinformation crowd are finally being the beacons of truth. We're finally being found to be the truth tellers, and I believe the light for the nation to realize. Do you realize, and I'll touch on this time affording us in this broadcast, do you realize during the course of the COVID, fear mongering, we had, I believe we have in America, 13 million physicians, and the overwhelming majority of them stood with Dr. Fauci. Those that stood against Dr. Fauci said that what he was saying was not true, the science did not match it, what he was saying would not be as devastating and deadly as he's saying. They had their license taken. They were removed from their practices. They were basically dissed by society and by governors and by senators and by those that are in leadership for our states. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, if I can do a little parenthetical young blood footnote, I believe every physician, I believe every human being, I believe every family that lost loved ones due to COVID incarceration in the hospitals. My oldest son was murdered in a Virginia hospital. Second day he was in, they put him on remdesivir. Remdesivir was the major drug recommended by the CDC, Gilead Pharmaceutical Production. Made the drug. Only side effects it has, it destroys the lungs, the liver, the heart, and the kidneys. For 71 days, he was in the hospital. He had been given that after the second day in the hospital. And then a ventilator. 71 days, And the statistic says on a ventilator more than 14 days, it is 87.5% death. And yet that's what hospitals were doing, because they could take a patient, put him in the hospital, claim it was COVID, and as a result of that, somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 to $300,000 would be the benefits financially reaped for that hospital just for having a COVID patient, not counting all the tests and all the drugs administered. Ladies and gentlemen, it's necessary for us to understand that we're seeing the truth finally illuminating out of the doldrums of what were lies, where Fauci, for example, said that the COVID vaccination was safe and efficacious. It was neither. We're now finding that out. I believe Perry is on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I have to say that a lot of, even if you didn't die from COVID, whatever was put in the body, it made my breast lactate. And I was, what, 68? And I think that's wrong, because it did harm to bodies and also the deaths of many people. And I believe that he should be prison and to the highest level. And also, that's worse than anyone that has killed as many people.
Absolutely. Well, Terry, let me just set the record straight for those listening may not be aware of it. Not only do we have over 1 million that were murdered because of being tested falsely, and we'll talk about that PCR test and the danger of it. It's false positives every time. But not only deaths as a result of that, but those that had the material injected in their body, and as a result of it, for the next 5-10 years, will be suffering all kinds of maladies and diseases and ailments. In fact, one of the things that's come out in the Fauci diaries is the fact that most remember on public television, he took the vaccination, did not say squeak to the world that he was secretly treated by his physician as having a heart ailment, a heart problem. That's one of the major side effects. It's called a heart infarction. As a result of that, he was treated, and that's one of the side effects of the COVID vaccination. This is the reason every time the news comes up where a sports person, 37 years old, 20 years old, 50 years old, golfer this age, that age, etc., etc., where they suddenly died with a heart attack. My first question comes to mind, did they take the COVID vaccination? That's one of the major side effects of it. And Fauci didn't admit that he had been infected by it himself as a result of that. There are those today that are having major, major, major maladies. And what is not broadcast, the media did not say. During the course of the lockdown, people losing their jobs, losing their incomes, the place people worked was shut down, closed out, and 250,000 plus people died from suicide, with a hopeless, helpless sense that I can't go any further. So, Terry, it demands our attention as Christians right now into the election cycle. We need to vet the candidates to make sure we have people that we put in office, local, state, and national. I'm talking about city council here in Jacksonville. I'm talking about the House of Representatives in Tallahassee. I'm talking about the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the U.S. government. I think that we need to vet the candidates well, regardless of what we think of them, regardless of how they might sound, regardless of how we felt in the past, regardless of how we voted in the past. We need to clearly vet the candidate, vote for that candidate that's going to protect our interest and not the interest of society at large and those that are there, how would you say, that gives them payola paycheck into their campaigns accounts. So, Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. 250,000 non-citizens found on the voter rolls in four states as Jocelyn Benson refuses to share the data. And I'll read portion of this after the top of the hour news in just a moment. But the main thing that I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about COVID, Dr. Fauci, and the stolen 2020 election. How do those three things fit together? What do we do as responsibility? What should we do as Christians today? Ladies and gentlemen, it's necessary for us to look up and understand that our redemption draweth nigh. But in the meantime, we need to stand for truth and need to speak up verbally, visibly, and victoriously for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take the top of the hour news right after the news. We'll be right back to face the issues.
First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ FM.